San Francisco, where you at?
Wake up, San Francisco.
Wake up, San Francisco.
It's time for Gilmore Guys.
Gilmore Guys, we're doing a show in your town this coming Sunday. Sunday, October 25th. Bloody Sunday. October the 25th. We're doing it at the Great American Music Hall.
It's a jungle out there.
And we are covering, people have been asking what episode we're covering. We're covering episode 514, Say Something. Say something.
We are the Gilmore Guys.
So watch that episode in preparation. It'll be a real fun show. We're even going to have a Lala special guest with us. So come
Who
on.
Who is it?
Oh, I don't want to say, but
well,
it's
I should know, though.
Oh, no, I don't want to say.
Okay.
I want you to be surprised when we introduce him.
Ooh, I hope it's me.
So come on out. Tickets are still available. A few tickets are left. Go to GilmoreGuysShow.com/tour. And you're going to find all the ticket info there. We'd really love to see you. We're going to make it a fun show for you. So come on out. Hey, Gillies, before we start the episode today, just want to let you know there is a few spoilers in our conversation with Michael Osiello. So if you're watching the show for the first time, there's some spoilers for season 6 and season 7. So you might want to skip over that.
Yep.
Okay. Bye. Madeline Albright tweeted.
I saw that.
That's so funny. She just loves comedy, man. She loves Parks and Rec. She loves...
Can't
Gilmore,
wait to see her hour long.
Oh, her special, her Type 5 was so good. And
Albright at the Apollo.
Yeah, she just talks about how she hates her kids. It's kind of a Louie thing.
You know how you'd be set in foreign policy and...
I can't feel my face with Gilmore Girls. Okay. La, 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 it's the revival.
Are we recording already?
We don't have
to. All this time, I did not.
Here we go.
Okay, it's a great way to start. Episode out of sync. It's not a.
It's about the revival.
We will talk about the season 8 news.
Is it season 8 technically?
We'll take credit for it.
We did it.
It's all us.
Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're.
The Gilmore Guys. Bow at our feet.
A.K.A. your saviors.
No, we're so fucking kidding.
I knew you'd be so uncomfortable with any credit.
People were like, you did it. And I was like, keep me out of this.
I don't know.
It's not, I don't feel like you and I specifically deserve credit for complaining about Rory's boyfriends for 2 days a week. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
If anyone deserves credit, it's the people who continue to care about the show. Like, there were people, like, we didn't bring up Gilmore Girls for the first time in people's lives. People have been caring about it every day since 2007.
Here's the thing. Guys, welcome to a special episode of Gilmore
Guys. Yes,
also
welcome. We should intro first.
It's tough. We found that we saw the news.
We heard.
This afternoon. Gilmore Girls is coming back to Netflix.
You know what's really funny is I found out because Kevin texts me as we were talking and he goes, dude. And I go, what happened? And he goes, check our Twitter.
Yeah.
So the world had already found out and I was just
only like seconds before.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You were like the first person I texted.
Well, then.
And then it was fun because, you know, I got to text like all of our friends, like Aisha, who just got engaged.
Yeah.
And then said, this is bigger than my engagement.
She's having a big week.
She said, like, oh, this is Amy Palladino's present to me.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to Sarah. Jason stoked, obviously.
Of course. Because it means he gets to bone down.
Yeah, he finally gets to go to the bone zone with Rory and Lorelai, like he's always wanted to. So, we're here to talk about the big announcement. You know, the thing about our show is we record so many episodes in advance a lot of times just for scheduling reasons and travel and blah, blah, blah. So as of today is October the 19th, 2015, in the year of our Lord. And we've recorded tomorrow, we've recorded Gilmore Guys Volume 8. We've recorded 512. We've recorded the 513. We've recorded the call-in show. So the first episode in our run of the show that will be able to acknowledge this is 514, which is our live show in San Francisco, which won't come out for another few weeks. So
yeah.
We just didn't want to be out of sync with the conversation that's happening, because imagine if you tuned into our show and there's just zero talk of it. And there's going to be things that are like hilariously out of date now, like me saying, well, there's not going to be a revival, or there's never going to be a reunion. Or I think I was like positing the date of like when the show would end.
Yeah.
And now that's different.
Now it's going to be like 2 weeks later, which
is
going to be crazy. You're going to sound like a real idiot when people hear that.
Well, here's what I imagine. I don't know how to start talking about this. Like, there's no structure. I guess we'll just give our thoughts, because we do have a special guest we'll get to via the phone. but I guess we can just start with our general thoughts, how we found out. I found out, like everyone else. That was another question, by the way. Is like, how long have you guys known?
We're not...
We're
not on the inside.
Yeah, we're not on the inside. Even
you guys knew before we did.
Yeah, I found out like everyone else from Michael Osiello's Twitter. He broke the news on TVLine.com. The original Gilmore Guys were just the fakers.
Yeah.
And I found out I was at a coffee shop in Pasadena. That's
how
where
fitting.
I found out. And it was a moment. It was an interesting... Well, I want to compare and contrast our two reactions to the news.
All right.
Because I think it's worth talking about, because I think it represents maybe a spectrum of feelings for the fan base.
Oh, it's so on a spectrum, all right.
All right. But, you know, like for me, it was very emotional, because it's not like other TV shows or movies or really any, like there's nothing to compare. And I guess for you too now, like for Bono, but for you as well, Demi, there's nothing really to compare what our experience with the show is, because it's so unique. And I made a joke about it on Twitter, but there's really only one other person who kind of knows what we're feeling, and that would be Kumail, right?
Yeah.
Who, again, Kumail Nanjiani is not responsible for the X-Files coming back.
Right.
But his podcast was on the X-Files at the same time. And while there was interest, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it, in both these situations, especially with X-Files, which there's probably even more factors and red tape to get through in that coming back. It's just timing. It's just whatever in our case, the shows are not reasons or cause for a certain effect, but they're a reflection of a community that already exists.
Right.
And that community is the thing that, it's not... Well, because these guys, like, it's not like a WB executive was like, I don't know, wait a minute.
Right.
Look at this pocket. You know what? Let's bring it back.
No one logged onto iTunes and was like, I've got our new revival idea.
We got a winner. So there's a lot of talk too about the forensics of it. People are super curious about that.
What do you mean?
Know what I mean? Like, so when Scott Patterson came on and he said there's talks, was he lying? Or when Amy Sherman said this at ATX, how did they know? Or was it before? I mean, what's your opinion?
I truly believe that this is more recent than we think. Like, I think this all happened after ATX is how I believe it.
I don't know. There's no way to know, is there?
We talked to so many people, and I don't feel like they were, like, again, they're all great actors, and they're actors by trade, so maybe they're just, like, so, like, knowledgeable about how to play this off, but I feel like none of them gave away that anything was gonna, like, they all felt like, I mean, maybe, who knows?
But we weren't talking on a regular basis to the key, I guess, besides Scott, right? Like, the key, like, it wasn't like Lauren Graham was like, no, nothing's happening.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Amy said that. So the people we're talking to, like, there's people like Keiko, you know, I think found out with the rest of the world today.
But I don't think she found out with the rest of the world. I don't know. A part of me.
There's no way to know.
Exactly.
I
just feel like, again, there's no way to know, but
that's
part of me truly believes that they weren't all just like, they didn't all get off stage and were like, oh, we so fooled them. Like,
right. But then that brings into question, like, how many of them knew at that time? Because we've even heard, like, on and off mic stories of like, oh, yeah, they've been talking about this since, like, December of last year. You know, so in this sort of thing doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
But I think the finalization of it, obviously, like,
I feel like it's like when a friend says we should hang out. Like, everyone's like, you guys should do another Gilmore Girls. And we're like, of course, yeah, everyone involved would love to do it again.
Right.
And the more that you talk about it, you're just like, maybe. But until the WB executives come and like call you into their office and go, hey, let's hang out Tuesday.
Right.
It's not anything.
And I guess that's the real thing of it is, like, WB has all the cards.
Right.
Right. So they can't do anything without permission. So maybe it was a thing of like, well, ATX happened and there's a lot of, you know, fervor around it, but that's just kind of a spike in the activity. Maybe they're monitoring the Netflix numbers in a way where it's like, we're going to discount what happens in June
right.
or July, because obviously there's a lot of activity now because of the festival and the reunion and blah, blah, blah. And it's in the news everywhere. And maybe let's see how it plays out, because it's been 4 months between ATX and the announcement, which also, you know, October. October is a good month. October.
It's a real scary month.
October 1st, 2015, we start the Gilmore Guys podcast and it comes on Netflix. October 11th, 1989, Kevin Porter's
I was like, what?
And October 19th, the revival is announced. Also, October 5th, 2000, Gilmore Girls premieres on the WB.
October 3rd, Aaron asks Katie in Mean Girls what day it is.
Oh, that's true.
Is that October 3rd? I don't know. I might have made that up. October 11th. Don't fact check me on that.
Lindsay Lohan's birthday in The Parent Trap. So, Oct is a good month. So, you know, I don't... Maybe one day we'll know how it went down and who knew what at what time, but... That doesn't really matter. That's not germane to the conversation,
right?
I guess, because what matters is like the final product,
yeah,
and what it is, and then what we talk about it. So my reaction was, you know, emotional, and then like just feeling not like responsible for it, like I did it, but just being a part of the conversation, and that people are tweeting, you know, yeah, just like being a part of the conversation. I'll leave it at that. Not a cause of the conversation or anything like that.
I looked down at my hands and said, what have you brought upon this world?
Yeah, so that was mine. And then it was emotional. Yes, I cried for all asking. Elated.
You cry?
And then casually, not casually, caustically, cautiously, there we go.
Right.
Optimistic. What was your reaction?
So have you ever...
Is this your tight five?
No, because I, you know how, no, I just, the way that I can describe my feeling when I heard the news is really, I don't know. So every morning at work, we get a research packet of news and I scroll through that news every day and I just read it and I register it as news and I go to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what it felt like reading this. I didn't register any sort of emotion of like, oh my God, or uh-oh. It was just kind of like, oh, cool. And then the more the people were tweeting at us about it and stuff, I realized that, like, that's not the right reaction. I should have an opinion of this. And I was just kind of, like, stressed out that I don't have an opinion because I genuinely, like, sometimes I go to movies and I'll sit there for 2 hours and I'll come out and be like, I know that was a good movie. I know it was a great movie, but I feel nothing. I feel emptiness
when,
from that.
When did you last experience that? The Martian? The hilarious Martian?
Even earlier, I saw Room last night, and okay, I experienced that very thing. I came out of it being, what a great movie, what a gripping movie, everyone deserves an Oscar. What do I feel? Like, I was just like, well, that's done. Like, I don't know.
But unlike going to The Room, there's not pressure on you to have an opinion about The Room. Or Room, not right. Tommy Wiseau.
Everyone's going to ask me about my opinion of The Room. Yeah. No, there's not pressure to have an opinion. But even with this, I'm just kind of like trying to form an opinion. And I'm just kind of like, I have no information to form it. I'm just kind of like, good, more. But I'm also, the more I think about it, I get worried and like, I get worried in the sense of, because, okay, so we did an interview with a lovely woman over at The Federalist earlier today over the phone about this, and I was trying to, it was so weird to do that interview because I was still just, like, out loud processing.
We're in the first 12 hours of processing right. the news, right? So it's okay.
It's like, I mean, we described it as like, oh, someone just died. Just kidding, they're back. And like, how do you figure that out? But it's weird for me because I feel like my friend came back and I was just like, cool. But over the time, I'll just be like, what do I really feel? How do I process this? And my true reaction is, great, that's news. That's good news, supposedly. I can't wait to see what happens. And that's always what my opinion is when something like this happens, when a revival happens or when anything big happens that I feel like I'm supposed to emote more about, I'm just kind of like, news. That's wonderful. It's new information that I have. But the more I think about it, I'm just kind of like, it like, and I don't want to say like, oh, we like cancel it, like boycott, like not at all. But I'm also just like, again, cautiously optimistic mm-hmm. because part of me worries, I think something about Gilmore Girls that's so special is I can't see any of those episodes airing for the first time today and then getting past like the second season. That doesn't seem like a kind of show that it can exist outside of time.
Wait, how do you mean?
Like, I don't think that they can write the things that they see in the first and second season and just have it be like, if they were airing for the first time in 2015, I feel like people would be like, no, this is boring as shit. Get it off the TV.
I think if it was airing on TV, I think that would definitely find a home in streaming, though.
As is? I don't know. I feel like it would feel...
It's a hard discussion to have because it's like, well, it existed when it existed.
I feel like the nature of television has shifted in such a way. And when I say television, I do mean streaming too, because I feel like people don't... I feel like streaming content is more... like more leans into this than television does, but I feel like they are trying so hard to grip you and do something that is just
what's
like,
the hook? What's the concept?
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like with Gilmore Girls, the whole hook was just watch the like just watch them.
Mom and daughter, they talk, they're fun.
They're good. Like everything, just watch them and live their life vicariously through them. And I don't feel like a show like that exists nowadays because it's so hard to do in the current landscape. So I'm wondering, do they keep up with the not worrying about that that Gilmore Girls did, or do they change something to hook in new viewers as well?
I think if I were to speculate, because again, part of the danger in having a conversation like this is like, what they should do is this. And then you're setting yourself up for success or failure based on what
and
they
also,
do.
And also, by saying that, we're pretending like we know what they should be. And we're like, no, I don't know what Amy Sherman Palladino should be doing. I'm learning from her. She sets it.
Right. And again, this podcast represents an opinion, or two or three opinions, depending on who's talking.
Yeah.
Not the opinion.
Exactly.
Right? So that's an important way to position
ourselves,
too.
Which is another reason why I just go, don't ask me for my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not anybody.
Well, okay, so I think the answer to that question, though, is no. They don't try to... I think Amy Sherman keeps on keeping on what she did in the first, because Bunhead's very similar, like not a lot of change in energy, and Bunhead's got canceled, maybe to your point. So, even though, you know, that wasn't a point joke.
Well, my question to that is just how do they do that while also supposedly there's a time jump in the series? How do they do that and keep in the consistency of the 2007 series while also doing the time jump? Because I'm trying to think of a show that's done a time jump, and the only thing I can think of is Weeds. I'm sure there are other examples, but when Weeds did it, it was so...
You mean like a time jump in the... It's not... Well, what's weird is we keep saying time jump.
They're time jumping to present day. They're not going to the future.
The time jump is actually just... Like, the time has jumped for the last 8 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like... Grey's Anatomy ended, and then it was this, and then the new season, it's this time. Like, where it's like, well, only 6 months passed, but they're making it, you know, 2 years or whatever.
Right.
Or like on Alias from season two to season three. It's not like that. Like, that real time has already existed, so I don't know. Like, that's the other question. It's like, how much is catching up is there going to be?
I hope it's not... part of me does hope it's... I don't know what I want from this also. I'm just
Is
kind of like...
Is that interesting?
It's frustrating because I feel like people are expecting us to be like to have... Like, I mean, I don't have any opinion of what I want to see or what I like. I have joke opinions of like, wouldn't it be funny if Luke bought Bitcoin? I don't know. But like a part of me just thinks...
No cell phones, no Wi-Fi.
Lorelai, you put this foam hat, this... whatever.
Phone hat?
Phone hat. This silver hat on and go inside the bunker. No. I just think that this series, first of all, I'm very excited to see it. I'm glad it's happening. Let me say that out flat because I feel like this is going to come off like I'm being negative about it, and I don't want people to think that
sure.
at all.
But I think it's that's why people, if I may, I think that's why people listen to our show because we're not just blindly fawning.
Right, but praise. Some people also hate that we...
But I just think that's such a not interesting way to approach any media. And if people disagree, then this isn't the show for them.
Also, how boring would it be to tune in just to have us go, yes, it's great. Every
this is
week
great. And then this
for
is
three
great.
Hours.
See, that's the thing is like, and I don't think it's fun to be negative for negativity's sake. And like going pessimistic is hilarious. It's not as a philosophy. I think it's interesting to examine things balancedly. And again, like we've said so many times on the show, part of being someone's friend is meaning you make fun of them a lot of times. Like, that's how a lot of people express affection.
Right.
It's like knowing someone's quirks or flaws and kind of laughing with them about it. It's not like, hey, you're stupid, you're ugly. You know, it's not that, but it's you know, having fun with them about it.
Yeah.
Metaphor over.
I forgot what I
just
was...
you forming an opinion on the show and what this means now for like...
So, I mean, again, I don't know what I want to see in the show, and I'm very excited to see it, but I also am, like, I have so many questions just about the technical aspects of how they're going to do it that I obviously won't have answered
the technical
until it happens.
Aspects.
Just like in the sense of when they
are they going to shoot all on GoPros?
Yeah, no. What's happening? Are we getting this in 360? Are they going to shoot it for 3D TV?
Oh, I hope.
Are they going to CG?
Here's your coffee, Lowell.
I hope Rory is all CG. I'm just wondering, like, when they jump to present time, am I going to be able to watch it in conjunction? Like, could I watch it from season seven to eight and not feel like, oh, whoa, this is a different show? Or is it going to be like, oh, this is a different show, and this is clearly them catching up to the idea that time has passed, and they have to address that from the sense of also being like, are we going to get a lot of shots of people looking around corners like we're all back together in the same place? I don't want that. I want them to jump into like, here we are again. Anyway, continuing the story. Like,
well, it's hard because, and again, like we were talking about in the interview, there's not a lot of precedent for this, so right. We're kind of in the infant stages of what is essentially the television revival era.
Yeah.
What are the, there's Arrested Development season 4, kind of, but I think even that title kind of sets people up for failure in watching it. Arrested Development got revived by Netflix.
Community. I count it just because, I think Community is a good example for this show specifically because
of the season.
Well, also because of the whole showrunner leaving and then coming back thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was 1 year.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to clean up a year.
It really is.
You know
is.
What I mean?
Yeah.
This is, there's the Harmon precedent for a showrunner leaving and coming back, but Dan Harmon was gone from the offices of Community for what, 10 months?
Right.
At most?
Yeah.
This is 8 years. Like, there's not a lot of... We're about to find out, like, Fuller... I don't even know if I count Fuller House.
I'll count it.
It's so slight.
And by the way, let's give credit to the Fuller House folks for bringing this show back.
But, you know, we're about to see what X-Files is going to be like. We're going to see on Showtime what the Twin Peaks third season is going to be like.
Right.
There's not a lot of testing ground for this. And so, in terms of what we want, by its very nature, it will be different. People are going to look different. People are going to look 8 years older. People are going to look... And I think even the form being different is going to feel different. It's not a one-hour show with commercials, a 42-minute show. Right now, what's being reported is 490... minute movie lets mm-hmm. is what the report is. So by its nature of the form, it'll be totally different. So it's not going to feel quite the same. Like, it might have Sam Phillips on the cues and it's going to be all of our favorite characters, but maybe the best way to think about that, like, you're saying you want it to be different or you want it to be the same?
I want it, ideally it would be the same. It would be the kind of thing where, I guess if they're doing movie lets, they want it to be pointedly not the same, but ideally, it would feel like, and because it's not season 8 officially, ideally it would just feel, this is all going to the idea of what I want, which is stupid, but I feel like ideally we would have it go from, I just watched all 7 seasons, now I'm watching what feels like the 8th season, not
right.
What feels like, I want it to feel like, if you were watching this for the first time, it's just more. It's not, remember how all that time you missed Gilmore Girls? Well, they're back.
But I think that kind of sets it up to fail.
No, I know. That's another problem that I have, this because lofty expectation of, don't pretend it was gone. Just do it.
Just, well... yeah, because that assumes pretense. Like, you have to pretend like, we never left. And I think doing it in a way that acknowledges, like, and maybe it's some sort of thing like, oh, we're getting the old band back together. Like, who knows? Who knows what the story is? Who knows what the story is that they
like
want?
Like MacGruber.
Yeah, that's right. hang on.
I don't know. I mean, part of me does, like, of course they have to in some way, like with the writing of it, acknowledge that time has passed and they can't just jump into season 8 as if it's like 8 years later. But I feel
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just feel like that's the way to do it, to make it not feel so pointedly like, wink, wink, remember how we were gone? Because I don't think that sort of meta-ness is the show. And I don't think that having them do something where we have to live in the world. Like, I'm worried that this won't be able to exist to someone who is not already a fan of the show, to someone who doesn't care that there was time in between. You know, I'm wondering to them, do they see season 7 and then go straight to season 8?
Are you saying for viewers in the future?
Yeah.
Is it going to be jarring? I mean,
or is it going to sit like the Brady Bunch movie or something where it's like, this is separate. This is, don't worry about canon. Well, this is new.
Well, maybe, like, because it. Remember when Shear totally convinced us that it wasn't going to happen?
Yes. And I still sit in, like, I'm still, like, even though I told you I had no reaction, the more I think about it, I'm just like, really? Like, they brought it back? Really?
To me, it totally makes sense.
It doesn't make sense to me at all.
At all? Yeah. Renewed interest, they're seeing the Netflix numbers, everyone's available now in a way that they weren't before.
I mean, from
Except
a story,
for Melissa.
From a story aspect, I'm just like, really?
From a story aspect, I think this has been probably in the vaults for a while. You know what I mean?
I just feel like watching Rory grow up was such a big deal for this show that having it be like, nope, Rory's the adult now. I'm just like, what's the...
Well, maybe that's not the story. I mean, yeah, because if it was released tomorrow, Rory would, in real world time, be 31 years old.
Right.
If it comes out in 2017, she'll be 33 or 32 or whatever, whenever
maybe
it comes out.
Maybe it'll be the kind of time jump where she's playing 24 or something, and we're just like, okay.
Maybe,
right.
Yeah, maybe they cheat a little. Maybe it's not 8 years. Maybe it's like 3 years or 5 years. Just enough time that it's not right after. Yeah. So them looking totally different. Like how Matthew Perry, do you remember that cliffhanger on Friends where I think he was at a beach house or something and he looks one way when it ends and then the premiere, like after he went to rehab, he gained a bunch of weight because that's what happens in rehab.
I don't remember that.
And he looks a lot bigger. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Because then that's like, whoa, what? You know?
Right.
So I don't know. Like, I'm with you and it's like, I don't know what I want from the series other than, here's what I want. Just the last word. Like, the author to have the last word. That is the big draw and appeal of the revival happening. Amy Sherman-Palladino gets to end it, maybe not the way she was going to, if the show ended after 8 or 9 years in its original run, but she gets to end it the way that she wants to for now in 2016 or in 2017 or whatever
right.
it is.
Somebody broke her science project, but she's going to still get to the conclusion she wanted.
Exactamundo. Ooh, a lot of science projects about to occur on Gilmore Girls.
What?
Yeah, this is storyline season 6. We'll get to it.
Oh, okay. So another thing that I'm worried about, which this is just me thinking, like, what if other people hate it? Is like the idea of Amy Sherman-Palladino getting to end it on her terms and then having people be still upset with that is just like. Like, and that's, again, that's just so speculative as to, that's so pessimistic, but I'm just like, what happens if people hate it still, you know, the ending? Because people didn't like season 6, and some people say...
Oh, sure,
say,
and that was her, yeah.
Right, but
so
some people...
So it's not like she's infallible.
But some people say, oh, she messed up season 6 on purpose, Amy's still fine, so I'm just like...
She did not. I don't for... I know that's a very popular narrative in some circles,
everyone,
like, she ruined it, she knew she was out, so she just set the building on fire.
Everyone
so.
Says that whenever any showrunner leaves, and I just go,
yeah, like, it doesn't...
They're not
like,
going to ruin their chances of having a future in Hollywood just by being like setting fire to the room.
Right. Even for someone who doesn't really care that much about certain relational aspects of Hollywood as Amy Sherman-Palladino, I don't for a second believe you raise a child, you nurse a child, and then you cut it
yeah.
in their 6th year. Like, I just don't think that makes sense at all. But I guess with the series revival, what was the point I was going to make? There's so many things we could talk about. I'm glad it's happening, and I'm so excited for it. I'm also excited just to be able to make more episodes. 4, I guess. That's another thing, is like, what's going to happen
to
this show?
Yeah, people were like, congrats, you got renewed. And I was like, for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's what we don't know. One, when the damn thing's coming out.
Right.
It could be 3 years from now. Like, and because it's not even like the deals are set.
Yeah.
Like, right now, the news item is... It's going to happen.
Wouldn't it be crazy
Everyone's
if we saw a trailer tomorrow? I'd be so pissed.
Oh my gosh.
I would be like, how do you keep this a secret?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a toughie. But we don't know when it's going to come out. And so we don't know. We know what the format of this show is now, but how that translates to a show that airs in present time and we're all experiencing it together. It's going to be such a different thing
right.
because this is us commenting on something that at its youngest is 8 years removed. At its oldest, it's 15. And now, for us to be talking about it. We're going to be talking about it in present time, which means it's almost like I feel kind of the apprehension you're talking about, where it's easy to talk about something with a little bit of time removed because a lot of people have had a lot of opinions
right.
on it.
Everyone already knows, like, no one's coming to the podcast going, how should I feel about this? They're going, here's how I feel about it. I'd love to hear your
thoughts. Let's see what these guys say about it.
So for us to talk about it at the same time sort of feels like unintentionally we'd be setting an agenda for an episode to come out and for us to the next day to go, didn't you hate when Lorelai did this? Because
right.
it feels like you're so not removed. It's like when you go see a movie and originally you're thinking, I like it. And then all your friends are like, that movie sucked. How could you like it? And you go, maybe it wasn't that.
I hated it too. Yeah.
So that's going to be something that's going to be
which,
not...
again, is crucial to position ourselves as an opinion.
Yes.
Just one of millions that occur on a daily basis. And two, I'm very curious as to, like, if it's Netflix... Does Netflix drop all of their shows at once? Like all, I know they do with like House of Cards and Orange is the New Black. It's like all episodes on this date.
Yeah.
They have done it with every single
show.
Every show.
Yeah.
See, that is one thing I don't like about streaming. Everyone's on a different page.
I mean, I love that, but I also am not accustomed to being the person who is talking about a thing week after week.
Right. So imagine if we don't watch it at the same speed as someone in like Idaho watches it, and then they tweet, can you believe that the final four words were, you know, like, and they say, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of scary to not... Oh, we all watched it at 8 o'clock
but also,
Central Time.
I think we'd know because we know ahead of time if they would drop it all. So we'd be like, "Don't tweet about it.
Sure,
don't tweet at us. Don't fucking do it." Like we would just like, "Don't do it."
Yeah, there'd be a lot less. Even in preparing the episodes, there'd be like a lot less research. Like, do we watch it on one night, then record the next day, and then put it out the day? You know, like there's a lot of, and who knows? We'll get to that when we get to it. But what else do we want to say about the revival?
I'm starring in it.
Oh, yeah. People think we're going to be in it.
Yeah. I'm Rory's new boyfriend.
Oh, Tony.
Yeah, Tony. He's a great dancer.
Yeah,
that's his whole thing.
Let's talk about Tony for a little bit.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for you guys to meet Tony. Tony's a character we've been working on for a few months now. And
we've been workshopping with Amy.
He's
Daniel
just the greatest dancer. That's his whole thing. Yeah. Like, whenever Rory is just like, Tony, I can't believe what you've done. He does a little spin, starts singing to her, drops the little house lights.
You can make the sun rise.
Exactly. She's like, Tony, how did you know? And then the final four words are, we all love Tony.
We all love Tony.
Yeah. It's a surprise party for Tony at the end of the series. That's how she always wanted to end it, and she couldn't because I wasn't aware of the series yet.
It's an interesting responsibility. And it'll be so interesting, Demi, to be experiencing something. I mean, I guess this is what was going to happen with season 7 anyway.
Right.
But it'll be so interesting to experience something with you at the same time.
Now you'll see how you like it.
I hate it. But it's going to be so different. You know what, though? It does make me more excited for season 7.
Because it's not the end anymore.
Because it's not the end anymore. Season 7 is now...
I hope season 8 is just, like, fake E! True Hollywood Story type, like, flashbacks. Like, just a bunch of 90-minute, 60-minute pieces.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, where are they now? And each one is like, one's on Rory, one's on Emily, one's on Luke, one's on Lorelai. Like Arrested Development was.
Basically, yeah. See, and that's why, depending on the story that they tell, I think it's going to be interesting the way they brand it. Because they're not saying season 8. They're not saying, and you know,
they're not saying
two
anything.
Articles by Osceola.
Yeah.
But they're not saying, you know, how they brand it is going to set up what people expect from it. If you look at it as like, this is an epilogue to a story that we told the story and now we're doing like a victory lap. Or if it's like, check out this new chapter. Like I think branding is really, really important.
I think the phrasing that they gave of movielets is very important to how we should be taking this because I don't think it's season 8. And I think that's very telling if it's not season 8. If we have to look at this in the same way that we would look at, and I hate this example, but I genuinely cannot think of anything else. The Entourage movie, as like, it's not an episode
with
of Entourage.
V.
I truly cannot think of another movie that capped off a series. And I know we're going to get a lot of tweets of, here's one. But
Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me.
Well, let's think of, a better one. But just like, I hope I think they want us to think of
the
it like
Simpsons
that.
The Simpsons movie.
Yeah, and they stopped after that.
Yep.
I think they want us to think of it as like the series is done. here's an epilogue, not the series is back, baby. Here's more of the series,
we
baby.
We really don't know.
We know very little. But I do think that movie lits as a description is more telling because they did not say season 8 in any way.
Yeah, it's not like 42 minutes, we're going to spend an hour, Rory lost her bracelet. It's so exciting, though, because I think it's exciting because, like, Story wasn't broke the way that Gilmore Girls broke Story. And it, where it's like, okay, Story's over, we still have 20 minutes of show, let's just have a long conversation with Luke Stein, or something like that.
Right.
Like, that wasn't traditional. It's like, where's my bracelet? I don't know why I keep saying the bracelet, but, like, they didn't write act breaks.
Yeah.
To, like, okay, end of act one, act one, end of act two, you know, this will be an untraditional way. I think I really, Sarah Hayward's description of what the show is really resonates with me. It's a novel. It really is. Like, it's not, it doesn't feel like a TV show most of the time to me. It does feel like a novel or like a weird, like a long 153-hour play.
Like an Olive Kittredge.
You know, it's Gilmore Girls was the Olive Kittredge of its time.
It really was.
It's so, even in that, there's already precedent for not expecting what you might expect. And just think about the fact that the show will be different without Edward Herman.
Mm-hmm.
And without probably Melissa McCarthy. Although, what do you think? What do you think?
I think she's going to have some time when Ghostbusters finishes.
Really?
No.
No, she's the busiest woman in the... I mean, maybe she, like, they get her for... Maybe they do a Bradley Cooper thing. Because if Bradley Cooper and freaking Amy Poehler and Paul Rudd, if all those guys...
I truly believe that part of the way that they're doing it could be to accommodate how busy everyone is. Because, I mean, we talked about how everyone's finally in a place where they can do this. But I think a lot of people are still pretty busy.
Well... Yeah,
I mean, maybe more so supporting characters, but like Liza Wiles got her show, I feel
like. And then Sean Gunn's going to be doing Guardians 2.
Yeah, I doubt that'll be at the same time, though.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And that's another...
If they really want Melissa McCarthy, I think they'll make the time for it.
Right. And time. And the one reason, because one of the questions was, how will this not just be like Arrested Development? I think Arrested Development was... Because you liked it. You liked Arrested Development.
I thought it was
funny. Four.
Yeah.
I think parts of it have a lot of virtue. And I think what they did, I've said it before, but it was like a noble failure. There's a lot of green screen. They didn't have the cast together except for a few days. And
right.
There was a lot of like cheats and stuff. And it didn't feel like the same show.
It definitely didn't feel like the same show, but I do think the writing saved it, which is another thing that if all the cast can get together, that's not a problem. I think the writing is the most important thing of this, which, sure. If it's Amy Sherman-Palladino, shouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of how she deals with the obvious jump of, well, 8 years have passed, what are we doing, you know?
Yeah, and what's the callus for that? Is it Richard Gilmore's passed away, and we have to plan the funeral, and Lorelai and Emily have to connect? Is it something to do with, like, Rory's getting married to some guy we haven't seen before?
If they do Rory's getting married and they spend the whole time just teasing who
to
it
Obama.
Is, I'll be so mad.
Wait, like, Rory's getting married, but you don't know who to?
Just like, Rory, here's your groom, and we only see the back of him. We're just like, fuck, I'm just going to go, fuck you. I'll be so mad. I know they wouldn't.
I'm
going to
play this
wouldn't.
Clip when it happens. I mean,
you should play that clip and then play the clip where I go, I loved it, because we end up being in the show.
No, right, kidding. Exactly. Yeah, who knows what the catalyst will be. I'm so fascinated by this idea, though. I think it could be something truly great. I think it has the capacity for greatness. But again, we're not the ones to, you know, decide whether it's great or not.
I'll decide greatness.
Here's one thing that we have learned, even in doing a show which has an infinitesimally smaller audience than Gilmore Girls, the TV show, does. You cannot please everybody. You cannot please every single person who participates in listening to, or in this case, watching your show.
Right.
So whatever Amy Sherman-Palladino writes, after 8 years of expectations, after Jessica Shaw put everyone on blast... at ATX,
like,
where's your character now? After all that, there's no way that you can please everyone who's waiting for the show. There's a way you can please most of them. There's a way you could please half of them or some of them. But I just think in general, after this buildup, it's not going to be everyone's 100% satisfied. Maybe it's like 98%. But I think people's expectations, just like when you don't talk to someone for a long time, for like a couple of months, you're like, wait, what are we? And then you like create a narrative in your head. Or not, what?
I feel like if you don't talk to them for a couple of months, you go, we're not anything.
Well, but I'm just saying like what they got out of town and you just like don't know where you stand, or you create a narrative. Think about it this way. Like if you text someone, they don't text for 3 hours. You know how many expectations and like narratives you can create in your head of like, they're probably thinking this or they're probably doing this.
Right.
And then when you talk to them again, it's either like they meet those expectations or they let you down or something. It's just what happens with time and it's almost unavoidable. And I think...
Are you getting like 50 emails right now? What's happening?
I'm getting a few texts.
Everyone's just like, you hear about Gilmore Girls?
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Did your shit not blow up today too?
It did, but in the most ironic way.
How?
Like, people would just say, at a certain point, people just went, congratulations. And
you did it!
And after a certain point, like it became a joke of my coworkers coming into the room and just being like, Demi, did you hear? And I just went, fuck you. Like, because I told them out loud. I was like, people keep telling me... So I just made a status that said, thank you, I know, on Facebook.
Right, yeah, and, shutting everyone down.
not even, I didn't want to be rude, but I was also just like, I know you guys want to be the first to tell me, but I also just wanted to be like, I know. Mm-hmm. We essentially have a lovely fan base that act as Google alerts for anything that has Gilmore Girls.
Well, that was one thing that was funny. It's like 2 or 3 hours after the news broke, people were tweeting like, don't know if you guys saw this.
It's so sweet.
It's so nice.
I can't say anything mean about it.
But let me.
That's the end of it. I can't say anything mean about it.
End of story.
But I, what was I going to, how did I get start talking?
Oh, I think we were talking about, just like what happened. Because I was getting a lot of text messages.
Right. Yeah, so I interrupted you rudely to talk about how your phone is blowing up.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a good day. It's a really good day.
I gotta say, today was a good day. Bump it.
Yeah. But again, for those listening with the podcast in real time, there's going to be 4 more episodes where we're not talking about the revival or acknowledging it at all. So just stick with us.
Yeah.
4 more episodes?
I hope that...
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope that in all of those 4 episodes, we casually made mention of like... it's too bad they're never going to come back.
Well, in the one we put out today with Guy in 5/11, I was like, well, they're probably not doing a reunion.
That's fun. That's great.
It's great. It's great to be...
It's good to be wrong.
It's good to be wrong. You know what?
We've done it for 100 episodes now.
That's 113, my boy. Or 114, 15.
We're only going to get wronger.
Yeah. On our hosting, Big Stars hollered a Spreaker for free hosting. It shows how... How many hours the show is, like how many hours of actual content we put out, not just number of episodes. And I think we're up to like, especially in season 5, we're up to like 160 or 70.
Whoa.
Isn't that funny for, you know, because that's not one for one. Like the ratio is so out of whack.
That's enough time that if you got your arm stuck under a boulder, you'd be fine. You just keep listening to this show.
Yeah, James Franco.
Yeah, what's your excuse?
Yeah, you piece of shit.
You know, podcast out in the canyon, you fuck. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh.
They got real aggressive to a man who lost an arm.
Oh, sad, sad, sad.
Stars holla to Aaron Ralston.
Stars holla. You know, we got a special guest, but before we get to him, let's answer a few...
He's been sitting here very quietly the whole time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, we're going to call him. He's in New York City. We're going to answer a few Revival Q&As.
Revival Q&A. It's deeper because it's a reboot of the original song.
Right. Oh, hell yeah.
It's a gritty reboot.
Aaron said, how long did you guys know about this?
I've known for 5 months.
Yeah, I've known for... Really, I knew before Scott even said anything.
We actually wrote the pilot. Can't wait for you guys to see it.
Yeah, well, we wrote the ending, too. Remember? Amy did, and she gave it to us.
Remember how the 4 words were, it's great to talk. I can't believe you forgot.
It's great to talk. Oh, my
bad.
It's
great to talk.
It's been a long time since I rock and roll. It's been a long time. Nate says, is Michelle out yet?
No, Michelle definitely still works at the Dragonfly. Why do you ask?
Oh, I think he meant...
No, I know.
Okay. And I don't... That would be interesting, though, if it's like in the new series. oh yeah, I'm gay, by the way. Or like they make someone gay.
Wouldn't you be a little upset?
It's a little Dumbledore-y. It's a little J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, I would just like...
Or Rowling.
If you made an existing character gay just to be like, hey, it's 2015, I would go, okay, I don't know if that's the character though. And like everyone thinks Michelle's gay, but it doesn't feel like that was a thing that she always had in the cards.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, to me, it just seems like...
by all means, have a character be gay, have a trans character, but I feel like to change it just to be like...
Right, it's
No, I'm progressive is just like more... It feels offensive to me.
Calm down. Yeah. And I don't think Amy cares about that. Ellen says, do you think putting the show on Netflix was a test run for a contract with Amy Sherman-Palladino? And I think the answer is no.
No.
Just because... When talking with her and hearing interviews at ATX, she was one of the last people to find out that it was coming on Netflix.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, okay. Like she found out in the news with everyone else.
Also, for them to put it on Netflix as a test run would mean that there was something in the works before it going on Netflix that made them think, what about this show?
Right.
Which, I don't know.
Well, and the thing is, and maybe this will bring a little perspective to like us talking like, why now? Why this? I remember Osiello doing an interview with Palladino like 5 or 6 years ago where they're like, oh, maybe a movie. We're hoping. Or like, I'm citing it wrong. We'll ask him when we get him on the phone. But like, they've been talking about it for a while. It wasn't just like the past year or even 2 years. Like, there's always been we kind of want to revisit and fix it. Like, that's always, you know what I'm saying? Right. So it wasn't like, bleh, like it wasn't so sudden as maybe.
Of course.
Our limited hindsight is making it out to be. Ellen also writes, new Beau for Rory or one of the original three? And I say new. I mean, I think it'd be fine to involve one of the original three, but I think those dudes were for those stories. And to bring one back might, if done incorrectly, ring hollow as empty fan service.
My concern with I agree, but also my concern with a new one is just like, it was such a big deal for each of those men to be there that to have one new guy who we just have to accept is the new guy.
Hey, I'm Chad.
Right, yeah. Hey, Michael Mudface. I'm Chad, and I love to surf, and I'm also into politics, which makes me perfect for Rory.
I'm a senator.
It's just kind of like so weird to have them go, no, this is the guy, accept it. And you're just like, well, I feel like we need more time to learn about him. It's like, no, they're together. Too bad. So,
but... isn't anything else going to feel like a cheat? Like, if it's like, Jess, you were the one the whole time.
Almost no matter what they do in the boyfriend situation, I'm just going to go, ugh.
Really? Like, you unless think anything's going to be disappointing?
Unless, that's just in conclusion with my idea that all of the men were wrong for at that time. Because if they bring it back and it's like, well, now Jess is good, I'm just going to go, okay, I guess. Like, if he's different. Yeah. I wish I saw more of him being different. I don't want to just accept the new... I don't know. Because it's so weird for them to it would be weird for them to reintroduce old characters and have them be like, nope, they're different now. They're all different, and they all perfectly fit for Rory. But it would also be weird to have a new character introduced and just be... like, I don't know if that's enough time for them to introduce a new character or to change an old character to make it fit Rory. So part of me feels like the only thing they can do is just have her be...
celibate. Alone?
She joins a monastery.
Oh, maybe she's in between, or maybe it's like at the end of 500 Days of Summer, where it's like he broke up with Summer, but then freaking
oh god, she's
Stink of Smelly comes on screen. She's like, hi, I'm Autumn. Ooh, boo, 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 yeah. Boo. And it's like, ooh, maybe Jogo Lovo is gonna find love.
Dean just dumped me. Hey, I'm principal.
instead of
Dean.
Oh. Hey, yep. I'm Headmaster Charleston. Oh, by the way, stars holla out to Dakin Matthews, who plays a judge in Bridge of Spies in theaters now.
Really?
Yeah, he's really good.
Great.
I don't know why that struck me so funny. Megan asks, what is the number one question you want answered in the limited series? Should we say our answer at the same time?
I genuinely don't know. What's your answer?
Where is Mr. Kim?
Oh, I was like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, where is Mr. Kim?
Where the
I would love for them to just bring in like Pat Morita to play Mr. Kim for one episode and just go like, "Hey, I'm back," and then he's just
Pat
gone
Morita.
Again. Ugh, that's definitely. I know Pat Morita is not a Korean man.
What is number one question we get? By the way, sorry for sometimes mistaking or confusing races or ethnicities on the. I've done it so many times. I feel like such.
I've never done it, and I don't see color. Also, I know Pat Morita is dead, so.
He is?
He's dead, and
oh,
he's
I
not.
Didn't know that.
No, he's dead, and he's also not Korean, so a
I
lot of mistakes
he was
in that.
Alive. Oh my gosh.
Is this. Did I break this to you?
Yeah.
This is a really bad day for you having news broken to you.
I mean, I'm sure I saw it, and then I just forgot. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. What's the deal?
Is this bad news for your Karate Kid reboot?
Yeah, no, I'll just use Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Woo! By the way, I want to plug, because he might not do it, but Demi wrote the funniest script ever for a cop movie with him and Drake.
Please, if you know someone who knows Drake, let him know that I wrote a movie, because Drake said that he wants to get back into acting. So I wrote a movie called Good Cop, Six Cop for him, and it's
Why
on the
six
internet.
Six Cop?
I feel like this is the wrong podcast to be talking about it, but Drake has a song called Six God, which is a reference to the idea that the 416 and six something else... Toronto area codes
You're
have six of them. Anyway, this isn't important. Wrong cast. Let's talk about Gilmore.
Wrong cast. Emma says, so we were all excited when Netflix did this with Arrested, but season four wasn't the best. What makes you think Gilmore Girls will be different? You know? I think we talked about it. I think if the cast is all there, that just changes so much about how they do the show.
Right.
The fact that it's 4 instead of 15, I think, for Arrested.
Mm.
Like the reason people expected another season of Arrested Development is because it was a season length of episodes.
Right. It was season 4, literally.
Right.
It was just Arrested's back, here we go.
Right.
And I feel like if they bill it as not that, which they shouldn't because... This is, by definition of it being a time jump, is completely different from every season.
Sure.
So I think if they bill it as not season 8, then we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm not as concerned as the cast all being there. Like, I think the way they filmed Arrested sucked, but I don't think it ruined the story for me.
And another way to look at it, or another comparison, went on American Summer, first day of camp. The same sort of thing where it's like, scheduling, we can only have these two actors, and we can
but
only have
worked.
These three. But that one worked because... Well, that one worked for a lot. One of the reasons that one worked is that it built as a prequel taking place 2 months before, but everyone looks 50 years old, and it's hilarious.
And I think they also get a lot of credit for just being able to do meta things where it's like, no, of course.
Right. Yeah, like Bradley Cooper saying, it's me. I'm DJ Ski Mask.
So good.
One of the best jokes
is
in that
Is there
series.
Any other series like this that has come back from extinction? Because I feel like Arrested Development's our only example, and I'm just kind of like, is that...
There's got to be another one. We're just being dummies. I mean, one might say, even though the original creators disavowed it, the 90210 reboot is kind of that. Yeah, but I'm just saying...
Right, right.
I don't know what other...
The Blaze.
There's got to be another one. Damn it. Damn it. What is it? We'll figure it out. I'm going to get my phone.
You just, for the listeners at home, Kevin said, and we're going to figure it out, and then unplugged his iPad. It really did look like he was just walking away. Like, he's just like, I'm sick of not having information. Anyway, Kevin's back.
Hello.
It'd be funny if I didn't edit any of this because we're putting it out so quickly.
Yeah.
I might not.
It's whatever.
I might just, you know, we did.
Dude, whatever. YOLO, okay?
It's a wonderful emergency podcast. What should we call this? Revival Talk? What should we call this episode?
We got Gilmore. Just we got Gilmore.
We got Gilmore?
Yeah. Gilmore.
Revival Talks with Michael Osiello. Who's our special guest? La, 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 special guest.
Great introduction.
Who we're calling right now.
La, la.
Who broke the story today.
La, la.
Hello?
Hello!
Are we speaking with the Michael Osiello?
You are speaking with the Michael Osiello. I can confirm this. Yes.
Mr. Osiello.
I know you. You're the guy from Gilmore Girls.
You had a cameo.
That was more than just a cameo. That
he had
was
a star role.
On guest starring role. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my apologies, Mr. Osiello. Oh, man. So we're talking Gilmore Revival. today on the show, and we're joined by our special friend, special guest, and good friend, Michael Osiello. Demi just gave me a look like, what are you doing?
I don't know what I'm doing.
So, Michael, you broke the story earlier today on TVLine.com that there is indeed going to be another, there's going to be a revival of Gilmore Girls on Netflix. Now, if you could just for
the... Oh my God, did that really happen? I wasn't just dreaming that whole thing.
It really happened, sir.
I really posted that story. Oh my God, that's amazing.
The world is in color.
I was worried for a second there that that whole thing was just a figment of my...
Do you feel like you're in a daze? Like, how have your last few hours been since you broke that?
It's been really exciting, you know? And the thing is, I've known for a little while that this was a possibility. First of all, forgive me. There's huge construction that's going on outside my apartment here in New York.
No worries.
Oh, we can't even hear it. You're fine.
Okay, good. Cause it's like 11 o'clock at night and they're ripping up the street outside. So if you hear any loud banging, that's what's going on. But anyway, the thing is, so I've known for a little while that this was a possibility.
Sure.
But, you know, when the word came down that there was actually a deal and that it was happening and then I got to share it with the world, it was really exciting. And I have to say it was one of the most exciting days of my career today, to be able to break this news. You know, even aside from just the breaking of the news, it's just, you know, as a huge Gilmore Girls fan, the fact that this is actually happening, it's crazy. It's just freaking crazy. And I'm so excited. And I'm so excited that Amy is shepherding it. Obviously that's the big thing, that she's going to be behind this because, you know, we all know how many people have felt about season 7. You know, we didn't get the ending that we wanted. And now we're going to get the actual ending that was supposed to happen.
Right, the actual ending, whatever that may be, because maybe it's not even, like we were talking about earlier on the show, maybe it's not exactly how they were going to end it, you know, after season 7 or season 8 at an Amy Sherman-Palladino-Helms show, but whatever the ending we get present day in 2016 or whenever the new series comes out will be exactly the ending that Amy wants. Now, what's cool, Michael, about you getting to break this story is I feel like you've had a great relationship with Amy for a long time. Like, I obviously having cameoed on the show and I feel like you've broken certain Gilmore Girls stories over the years and gone to do a lot of interviews with them. So it's cool that they kind of kept that in the family and you got the exclusive on that.
Well, the reality is, you know, Amy's not talking now, you know, and she's, you know, until there's like, this is official, I'm imagining she can't talk. So it's not like that pipeline is open to me right now.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately, you know what I mean? So
right. And that's why everyone's being so caustic on Twitter, like Lauren Graham saying, I can't confirm or deny because nothing's official.
Right. But I can speak to the fact that it is a thrill as someone who has been, you know, a part of this show, you know, sort of on the outside from a media perspective since day one. It is a thrill now here in 2015 to be able to break a story like this. You know, just personally, it's a thrill. And also the fact that I'm still able to now cover Gilmore Girls, you know, a show that I thought, you know, was gone, you know, and sort of had moved past to a certain degree. I mean, I never really emotionally moved past it. But the fact that now at my job at TV Line, I get to still cover the show and break news about the show and new episodes is just, it's unbelievable.
It's like getting into a time machine.
It is. It's like, exactly.
Go ahead.
The thing is, it's worth pointing out that, you know, so Warner Brothers and Netflix made this deal for this revival, but none of the actors are right now officially signed on.
Sure.
So what happens now is, you know, they go out to Lauren Graham and Alexis Bledel and Kelly Bishop and they start trying to make these deals. Although I have to imagine that it would not have gotten this far unless there was at least, you know, an unofficial, like, sort of okay from the principal actors that they are at least interested.
Of course.
Because what would be the point of, you know, having this deal to begin with if you're not going to, you know, at least have a good shot at getting Lauren Graham and Alexis Bledel and Kelly Bishop?
Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be a big football to be pulled out from you, Charlie Brown style.
Especially because it sounds like the way you reported it, you said there's going to be a sort of time jump. So we have to assume that Amy knows what she wants to do with this new revival.
Yeah, I have to imagine Netflix wasn't just going to greenlight this project without any sense of what the creative would be.
Of course.
And I don't know specifics about what the creative is going to be. I wish I did. But, you know, what I do know is the stuff that I've reported, that it's four episodes, each one is 90 minutes. You know, it was sort of pitched, I believe, as sort of like little movies, like four mini movies, or supersized episodes is another way you can look at it. And Amy and Dan are, as I understand, they're going to be writing all four episodes. And here's one little scoop that I can give you that I haven't said anything about.
Ooh, a Gilmore Guys exclusive from the original Gilmore Guy.
This is a Gilmore Guys exclusive.
All righty.
Do you have special music that you can insert here for Gilmore for an exclusive?
Yeah, play Take It to the Limit right here.
Okay, here we go. I really will.
Great.
So I'm hearing that it's very likely that Amy and Dan will also direct the four episodes.
That's great.
I don't know exactly how that will work. And again, it's fuzzy. I don't have, you know, this is just what I'm hearing, that there's a strong possibility that Amy will end up directing two and Dan will end up directing two.
Oh, right on. Yeah, that's kind
of great. Because some of my favorite Gilmore Girls episodes have been the ones where they have directed.
Right, and written together.
Yes. So the fact that this is like a Team Palladino production on the writing directing side, to me, is really exciting.
And it's cool, too, or at least it's interesting to think about, unlike previous seasons of the show, where you have 22 episodes and you have certain goalposts you need to hit, and you have sweeps, and you need it to be this sort of episode, and so they have to employ a staff of writers, like we've talked to Sheila Lawrence or Jane Espenson to help break that. This is so interesting to think about. This is going to be completely just Dan and Amy, kind of a one-man band, more so like, I guess Nick Pizzolatto would be kind of a model for it on True Detective.
I hope this is exactly like True Detective.
Yeah, this is going to be True Detective season three is the Gilmore Girls. But, you know, like, and there must be a few other models of like one person kind of does it all, or like Steven Soderbergh directing every episode of The Nick. What that kind of provides is a unity to the show that you wouldn't get with a revolving door of directors or a revolving door of writers. So that's really
right.
Interesting too. And that really will probably contribute to the movie-let, the little movie feel of the new revival series.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, and just the fact that they don't have, you know, it's very different when you're doing 22 episodes in one season, you're just churning out that much content. It's the quality control issue. It's impossible to like nail every one of those episodes. But, the fact that, you know, you have these four episodes that they can really focus some time on, you know, and probably I would imagine they're going to have them all written before they start production.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of times that's how these Netflix things work, is like the writing is done in advance. You look at Twin Peaks and it's like all those episodes, they're already written. David Lynch and Mark Frost already wrote those episodes. So that's one of the nice things about sort of this new age of TV is that a lot of that work can be done in advance.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool to think about too, maybe on this time around, because we've heard from so many people like, oh, the hours were so tough and so grueling and not like they're going to work any less hard on this show, but maybe because of Netflix, there'll be a little more latitude in what they have to get done in a day. And maybe it'll be a little more chilled out while they're filming. And even thinking about how Wet Hot American Summer, First Day of Camp, had a release date, and then they pushed it back a few weeks, and everything was fine. You know what I mean? Like, they right. don't have to hit a target that's like, if you don't hit this, you know, you're going to screw it up. It's got to air at 8 o'clock on the CW right. and this time slot. Like, it's cool to think that now they can kind of take their time and even more so than ever make exactly the show and tell exactly the story that they want to tell.
Right. Completely. Yes. It's all really exciting. And it's also the format's interesting. It's not really what you necessarily, well, what I would expect, you know, these 90-minute episodes. You know, it's like we haven't really seen a Gilmore Girls episode that runs 90 minutes without commercials. I wonder what that's going to be like. You know, I'm just trying to picture that myself. It's like, that's a lot of dialogue in 90 minutes.
Yeah, I wonder how long the scripts are going to be.
They're just going to make regular scripts but produce them at a normal speed.
Yeah, everyone's just going to be talking
exactly.
super slow. Yeah. But I mean, for a 45-minute episode, if the pages were like 80 to 90, this must be like...
This is a short book.
Oh, I'm sure they're getting into like the 120. So that'll be fun to see. I mean, what expectations do you have for the show, Michael? Other than you talked about in one of the pieces you put out today, how Rory's old loves or ex-boyfriends will come into play. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I don't know anything beyond that. I think as far as my expectation, you know, my expectations are sky high. I mean, I'm expecting this to be the greatest piece of television ever. and that's just, you know, because, you know, it's wish fulfillment in many ways too. But, you know, the fact that Amy and Dan are involved just gives me a lot of faith and hope and confidence that, my high expectations are going to be met. As far as Rory's loves, you know, I don't know. I'm curious to see if she's, you know, where her relationship or lack thereof is with Logan, you know, here 8 years later. You know, I can't imagine that she's, you know, somehow in that those intervening 8 years hooked up with Jess and, you know, they're living together somewhere. So I think that's
the internet would disagree
marks.
With you, Michael.
Oh, really? What was the internet saying?
Well, I think most people want them to be together.
The internet would say Logan died in a mysterious fire, and Rory was consoled by the sweet and uncaring Jess.
Right, but wanting that to be and actually thinking that that's a realistic possibility.
Right,
of course,
two
not.
Different things.
Totally.
But it'll be interesting to see if they're able to get all three of those actors back, how they will be woven in and out, and you know, in what impact or, you know, what role they'll have in Rory's life now.
Right, and just speaking to the idea in general of television revivals, as someone who consumes a lot of TV, what do you think would be a good comparison point for the show? Because we've seen Netflix revive Arrested Development. We saw them revive Wet Hot American Summer as a limited series. But even in our discussion, Demi and my discussion of it, we were trying to think, like, what would be analogous to something like this? I don't know if there is anything.
Maybe The X-Files?
Yeah.
You know, because the X-Files on Fox, they're doing sort of this six-hour thing, and it's, you know, basically... you know, sort of picking up in present day and, you know, so it's a continuation. I don't know. It feels like there may be some similarities there. Again, I'm a huge X-Files fan, so, it's not a surprise that I would sort of gravitate toward that as an example, but it does feel like that may be, an apt comparison.
Totally.
Obviously not in tone. They're two different, very different shows, but just in terms of, you know, the format and all of that, and, you know, they're both hour longs.
Absolutely. And I think another interesting comparison with that is, if I'm not mistaken, and I might be, and you X-Files heads out there can correct me, but I believe for each episode of X-Files, it's being directed by the person who wrote that episode, which is very...
Yes, that is the case. Yes.
Yeah.
Right, which is another reason why I'm really excited about the X-Files too, is, like, you know, Chris Carter brought back his A-Team, and not that this is an X-Files podcast. But I think it's just, it's really smart when you really bring back the A-team and you bring back the real stars behind the scenes in addition to in front of the camera.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess, well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us for the revival talk. We still have to decide what to call this episode. But
can I ask you how you guys are feeling? Like what today was like for you when you first heard the news?
You know that scene in 500 Days of Summer where he has sex and then does a dance around the city? That's what Kevin's day was like.
That's true.
And my day was like the guy whose car gets stopped because a bunch of people are dancing in the road. No, we were both very excited. I mean, I was a little bit more apprehensive than I think Kevin might have been, just as someone who's watching the series for the first time still and doesn't even know what it's like coming after. But I think we're both like, this is good.
Well, and I think too, Demi, just like by sheer virtue of the fact that you've quote unquote lived with this show for a little over a year now, because we started this podcast in last October, and I've been living with it for almost 15, 16.
Yeah.
You can go to the television without pity boards to track it. So for me, I just flash back to like the first night I saw it when a friend of a friend was in a car crash and we stayed up all night and we watched Gilmore Girls to kind of comfort ourselves, or saving up for the season one DVD box set.
That's how you were introduced into the show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You weren't on that episode where I talked about it with Eliza Skinner.
I guess not.
But, you know, like I flash back to these kind of points in my memory. And even in doing the show now, I flash back to those points in first watching it when the show originally aired and tracking with it and tracking with every episode of season 5 and posting on the boards and illegally downloading the episodes and trying to force my friends to watch it with me. And I think of like just where we are in this conversation and you know, just the way we've been able to connect with people about the show via our podcast. And it's really incredible. It's not anything, you know, similar to you, Michael, where it's like it's kind of getting in a time machine and you get to write stories and break news about Gilmore Girls again. I get to talk about it again, and we get to keep having this conversation on the show.
Right. You get to do like episodes now about, you know, episodes of your podcast about brand new episodes of Gilmore Girls. Like, that's just crazy. How exciting that, you know, it's, you don't just have to, you know, go back into the archives now. There's going to be new episodes you get to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what, like we've talked about earlier in this episode, it's kind of an intimidating thing at some points, because I think sometimes, just because of the nature of the platform, people look to us for kind of definitiveness, like subconsciously or not, or just because we have a lot of people's ears, they think like, well, that's the opinion, and if it's wrong, I need to correct it. So it happening in real time, there's so much excitement and pressure at the same time, I think, to do a good job and honor the show in our discussion and in our talks about it. So yeah, there's like a lot of interesting factors to it, but it is fun to like, it's not a show that's, it was never dead to me, because obviously it's kept alive by everyone who loves it, but now to talk about this like living thing, this organism where it's like, no, there's more story coming. There's more to tell. And we're going to hear Amy and Dan get to tell that story. It's really cool. And it's really, really incredible.
Real quick, before you kick me off, I have one more question.
Oh, yeah.
I'm turning the tables here. I'm being the interviewer. But what's the one thing you don't want to see in these four movie lets? Like if the one thing you could be like, oh, I'll be just fine if this isn't in it at all.
Sure.
I don't want them to do a thing where they lean on the fact that it's 2015. Like, I don't want jokes about like, oh, Tinder's a thing now.
Rory's like, on Tinder.
Yeah. I want them to very much acknowledge that their show kind of exists in this weird 2000s bubble of feeling like a Victorian, just like we're looking in on a family that doesn't necessarily live in the time of, it's the 2000s and everything's political. You know, it's not the newsroom. I want it to be like, this is something that exists completely outside of time. You can watch it now, you can watch it in 10 years, and it'll still feel like just a good family show.
Right. And I think even in the original run of the show, like certain 98 Degrees references and fashion choices aside, it was a show that was kind of frozen in the amber of time, because a lot of it, and especially with that set and just the nature in which the show unfolded, a lot of it could have taken place in 2003, a lot of it could have taken place in 93 or 83 right. or 73, which is what's so cool mm-hmm. about the show. So yeah, I don't think like Rory's going to be riding in on a hoverboard.
Oh, I that's one of the things I want to see. I want to hear the la-las, and I want Rory to roll in on one of those Vine Star skateboards.
And the la-las are like a dubstep remix of it.
La.
Is there anything like that for you, Michael? Something where it's like, I could go without seeing that.
I am not clamoring to see Luke's daughter.
Sure.
I do know what that's about, but I don't know any details of Luke's daughter, so I'm also not clamoring to see Luke's daughter, I guess. A lot of people have tweeted how much they hate her, and they've given her a name.
You've seen those tweets?
Yeah, I see all the tweets people send
to us. So you know
that Luke has a daughter, yes.
Okay, cool.
Like, I know about it, and I've known about it for a while. I don't have spoilers because I don't know what she looks like or any details about it. So I'm excited to learn who that is and then excited to not see her ever again.
Sure.
Well, and I'm fine with addressing her like she exists in this world.
Yeah, don't like kill her off.
Right.
We shouldn't ignore it.
Put her in a school.
But I don't need one of those four episodes to be about her getting married or something.
That would be hilarious, though. What if like the whole? What if like the whole revival was just centered around April?
Oh my God! It's all about her.
That would be great. Because it would be like the Ocho or the Mayo de, what is it, Cinco de Cuatro thing of Arrested Development, where it's like, that's something we don't care about.
Right.
But it's all leading up to this event that no one cares about.
Oh my
That'd
God.
That'd be incredible. Are you going to be mad at us if we somehow get a cameo in Gilmore Girls as well?
Why would I be mad at you?
Because
I would only be mad if you had a cameo, if your cameo was bigger than my cameo.
Oh, okay.
Or if our cameo was playing the role that you did, and they're like, hi, it's good to see you again.
We would have some problems if somehow you had a more pivotal role than I did.
But I've got totally some bad fine. News for you.
I'm totally fine with you guys, you know, being like an extra in the background just walking by in the crowd scene.
But you just
know,
don't
like
want
a scene of like 1,000 people. Like, say there's like say that Luke and Lorelai go to a baseball game. I'd be totally fine with you being in that stadium.
Sure.
I hope that I get to catch the ball.
I would be upset if you were like, you know, selling them a pretzel.
Or if it's like Demi and I come up to Lorelai and I'm like, hi, I'm Michael, and Timmy says, and I'm Osiello. Good to meet you.
Yeah. Yeah, then we'd have a problem.
Right.
So, you know what? There's enough cameos to go around.
I'm sure there will be. What if it's like Cameo Central on the new?
They put all three of us in a cage and make us fight to the death for the cameo.
Michael would for sure win that.
Of course. We give up.
Oh, man. Is there anything you're really wanting to see? I guess I kind of asked that already. But, like, is there a story you'd love for them to get into? Like, Michael, how do you feel about, you know, how they would address, we've talked about a little bit on this show, but how do you feel about how they might have to address, you know, obviously Edward Herman has passed away. So what do you think might be one of the better ways to go with the character of Richard?
I feel like they have to probably address that in some way. I and that's one of the things I was going to say that I would love to see is just like a really fitting send off for Richard. And by fitting, I mean, you know, perhaps a memorial service where Emily is just fucking psychotic about planning it, and her and Lorelai come to blows. Like, it's like all this family drama, you know, but I think that would be the most fitting tribute to Richard, is just to have, you know, Lorelai and Emily at odds, maybe over the planning of it. I don't know. I have to imagine they address it. I don't know if it's in the memorial service. I don't know how it's all going to go down, but I don't know. It feels like that's ripe for some really emotional drama, but also for some great humor too.
Right. Well, because the thing I think we both, or all three of us, don't want to see on the show is like oh, Richard, he's on a business trip for like 3 weeks. You know, like
or
something
like
that
someone else is playing him, or they
oh, yeah, or they cast Bill Murray as Richard or something.
A Paul Walker thing, no.
Or oh, they yeah, see, like yeah, it's something where it's like this is a cheat because I think as a way of like an extension of what the cast and crew of that show probably went through, some way to like pay homage and honor and tribute the man is to tribute the character as well to that same degree.
Yeah, and I don't have any concerns about Amy and Dan doing right by that.
Right.
I really don't. I have full faith that whatever they end up doing or however they decide to address that it's going to be the right thing.
And then, and now we're just talking, but how do you feel about the idea that, because it's Netflix and they have the history of dropping all the episodes at one time, how do you feel about like the prospect of having what will essentially be, what's 90 times 4?
60 minutes. 6 hours is what I meant to say.
It'll be 6 hours? Yeah. So 6 hours of new Gilmore content at once. Like, do you feel like, Michael, you're going to binge it all, or do you think you might parse it out and savor it, or, you know, and how do you think that'll affect how people watch it?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to want to maybe space it out and do one a day just so I don't sort of quote unquote blow my wad all at once. You know,
sure.
I don't know how I'm going to feel about that. I think I'm probably going to watch it all in one sitting, mostly because I don't want to be spoiled. You know, I don't want to read on Twitter what happens in the fourth episode.
Right. Exactly. I know. I think we might have to just to avoid spoilers.
We'll
man.
Still do 4 separate episodes, but we'll just talk about
right.
We'll probably watch. I'm going to watch all of them live on Periscope.
Periscoping your own reactions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's the thing is, like, I don't know if, like, even 1 2-hour episode of the show will be enough to cover everything that happens in 90 minutes, you know?
I'm sure it will.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see when we get there. So
yeah, we have plenty of time to worry about, to figure out our viewing pattern.
Yeah.
And all of that. And then that's the other thing. It's like, you know, once this is all official and it's all set, it's like we probably still aren't going to see anything for a year, which honestly is totally fine with me because that just sort of lengthens the story. I'm excited to be writing about this for the next year or whatever. You know, the fact is once the episode's dropped, you know, and it's out there, in a way, that's the end of the story.
And that's
not
really
necessarily for you guys, because that's, you know, that's when you really start to get to talk about it. For someone like me, you know, I'm excited to be writing about just the newsiness of all this, and, you know, however long that takes, you know, it's fine with me.
Yeah, I know. That's such a, it's such a bittersweet thing, because it's like, oh man, Amy gets to end it. But now it's like, ah, now there's definitely an ending. Because right now, especially with the kind of vagueness surrounding some of the talks around ATX and stuff, it's like, well, the ending could be sometime in the future. Maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 1 year. But now it's like, now there's definitely a definitive final end coming. And that'll be it for Gilmore Girls, which is at once sad and beautiful.
And then what am I going to talk about if it's not, is there going to be a Gilmore Girls revival? Like, I'm going to need some new shtick.
I would go with Pushing Daisies.
Or
and
Happy Endings.
Monk.
I think Monk is fine.
Yeah, but none of it's not the same as the Gilmore Girls, so, you know? It's not. But I'm going to have to come up with something new. I'm going to have to reach into my past and pull something out.
Yeah. Well, we'll find something by the time. I mean, because it probably, especially if deals aren't even going to be finalized for a little bit, it might be 2017 until we see anything.
Mm.
Like, it could be over a year, you know?
It could be. Who knows? You
we
know,
could have had 10 Marvel
Twin
movies
by
then.
Like, Twin Peaks isn't going to come out until probably 2017 either. So, but you know what? Good things like this are worth the wait.
Exactly. Yeah. And truthfully, it gives us enough time to finish our initial watch of the show, our initial rewatch, because we're still in the middle of season 5.
I still can't form an opinion on the 8th season because I'm just like, I don't know what happened in the 7th or 6th.
Yeah, exactly, because
so.
Demi's watching it for the first time. So
Netflix really needs to coordinate their release time around your podcast schedule.
They do.
Yeah, get frickin' Tim Sardanos. What's his name?
Who?
What? The guy?
Reed Hastings?
Reed Hastings. Who's
Tim Sardanos?
Ted Sardanos. You must know what that is, Michael.
Did you just make up a SpongeBob character?
I didn't make up that.
Sardinos?
Sardan?
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
I just made up a character. Anyway, we'll get Reed Hastings on the phone. We'll figure it out. Oh, man. Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us today for a special emergency episode of Gilmore Guys. Thanks for breaking the news today. You've made a lot of people happy, and you're reporting it. And can't wait to watch it with you for the first time and compare notes.
I can't wait either. Thank you, guys, and congratulations to you guys too. You have kept this show alive, and really introduced it to a whole new generation in many ways. So I'm excited for you guys too.
Yeah, well, that's very generous of you to say. Thanks so much, man.
All right,
take care.
Talk to you guys soon. All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye bye.
You know what I thought would be funny is if when sweet, wonderful Michael Osceola was saying that thing about congrats to you guys, if I just hung up on him.
Really, congrats to you guys.
Click.
He finishes saying all those nice things and he's just going, hello? Oh, okay.
I guess they didn't want to hear that from me. We'll answer a few more questions and then we'll call it a night because we have to put this out in a few hours. So, Cameron says, expectations, will this pick up soon after where the show left off, or will it be 8 years later? Sounds like it's going to be 8 years later.
Well, I hope it's not 8 years. I mean, I'm okay with it being 8 years. I guess it doesn't matter, because even if it is 8 years, they're still going to be younger than all of the characters are.
Right, and maybe it'll employ a device that Gilmore doesn't use a lot, but...
Maybe restraint? Just kidding. Could you imagine if I was just like, I hate this show now?
No, maybe they'll have like flashbacks. You know?
Yeah.
It might be. See, it doesn't.
No, because I'm like, maybe they'll use flashbacks. And I'm just like, but that's not the show.
Well, this whole.
It's hard. They have the unenviable position of having to be not the show, but also needing to not be the show.
Right.
So they can catch up to the time of what the show has to pick up.
Yeah. So, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Rose says, is there any chance Rory has learned how to hug normally in the last 8 years?
No. She's definitely gone to the Voldemort school of being distant with people you hug. So she just kind of, she takes like three steps now to hug.
Oh, that's hilarious. Ellie says, do you think 4 hour-and-a-half long episodes will be enough to catch us up?
I think they'll be enough in the sense of they'll either use the first one to catch up to the Edward Herman stuff, or they'll use the first one to just catch us up. I don't think it's going to take that much time to catch up.
I don't think they'll employ a special structure like, we'll follow this character. Like,
I don't think they're going to need time to catch up. I'm just concerned as to whether or not they're going to... I don't think catching up to the story is what they're going to need to fix. It's catching up to just the world of, like,
right.
Are they going to keep it in the, like, pretend it's 2008 again? Or are they going to pretend, like, nope, it's 2015 and even the show has changed?
Right. And, you know, just speaking to past behavior, the Paladinos, so much stuff happens off screen on the show.
Right.
So even when I think about, like, oh, flashbacks, like, there probably won't be flashbacks because they're like, you get it. You know what I mean? Like, just crash the car. Yeah, this big breakup, you know, like how they used to do on the original run of the show is what we're going to say now.
I just start thinking about people who get mad when it's like, now I have to say the original RoboCop. And it's like, no, you can just say RoboCop. It's fine.
Yeah, no one really cares. Jackie asked Amy Sherman and Daniel Paladino, will they ignore anything that developed in season 7? Or no, she said, they'll ignore anything that developed in season 7, right?
I doubt it. I don't think that they will, because I don't think that...
But do you think they would watch it? Because that's got to be painful, too.
I'm sure, I'm sure they... I think that's
Did Dan watch season 4 of Community? You know what I mean?
Oh.
I'm sorry, Dan Harmon.
Right. I genuinely don't know. I've read about it, and I think because that's when he got in trouble of saying it's like watching someone rape your girlfriend for obvious reasons. But I don't know what if he did watch it, and I don't know. Well, with the Community, the whole thing was they just called it a gas leak year and make jokes about that. They can't do that on Gilmore Girls.
They can't. Or it would be a real meta departure. Like, it would I don't even remember what happened in 2006.
Like, I would roll my eyes. Like, yeah. I would go, I get it. But also, that's such a weird thing to do for people who aren't aware of the behind-the-scenes drama to go, like, yeah, we don't acknowledge that. So I think they'll have to. They'll just kind of fix it very quickly.
That's an interesting point, actually. I wonder how many people who are fans of the show don't know the behind-the-scenes drama of it.
I mean, I'm sure there are some. I don't know if it's the majority or the minority, but regardless, I don't think it does any service for them to sort of put that out there, just like, can you believe, like, to sort of throw them under the bus for trying to
kind of shit on the people who came before.
Yeah.
Amanda says, "Well, we see the return of Hot Marty."
Hot Marty's definitely coming back.
Hot Marty.
Exactly.
Amanda says, "Will Kirk have children? Him and Lulu?"
I'm terrified.
Isn't
unless
that a
you're playing
thought?
Kirk's son.
They're not going to flash that much forward.
Yeah.
Or what if they flash like 20 years forward and they all have to wear like old age makeup?
Oh, Jesus.
Lorelai, you all poop. I was kind of Pauline, kind of Catherine Hepburn.
Kirk will have one son, and it's going to be like a baby crepe situation where he keeps going. Every time Kirk is on screen, he talks about his son, and then he thinks he's bouncing him, but then Lorelai goes, "Where's your son?" He goes, "Oh no!" And he's been bouncing like a watermelon or something by accident.
Yeah,
Kirk's gonna be real bad about taking care of his kid, and it's gonna be hilarious.
Wow. Dan Blackroyd on Twitter. I'm sure that's not really his name, but
I think his real name is Blan Aykroyd.
Blan Aykroyd?
It's probably Dan Aykroyd's friend. Ban.
Has Demi seen Good Will Hunting yet?
Oh, yeah, it's my favorite movie.
All right. Hannah asks, do you think they film on the WB lot again for Stars Hollow or a different setting? What would you guys want? New York City, real Connecticut, space?
Oh, of course I'd want space. That's another thing. If they can't do, and this is not me going like, if they can't do this, then I'm not in. But like, ideally you'd want it on the Stars Hollow, right?
It's still there. They just have to redecorate it.
Ideally, we'd want it to still be in. I don't want it to be such a departure where it feels like a Where Are They Now
series. That's kind of what Scheer pitched, though. Remember that? When he was like, here's what it is. Rory's pregnant, and then Lorelai has to deal with her kid. And it's in New York.
I mean, I don't remember what I said on 417, but I feel like that's such a big, like, I'd just be like, ugh, come on.
406 or 7, whenever it is.
Wasn't it 417?
Scheer? Yeah. No, that was Copeland. Scheer was like 409, I think.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember Ted Koppel's Big Night Out.
That's right.
But I mean, I don't remember what I said in response to that pitch, but I feel like I wouldn't want that kind of a thing where it's like that's a spinoff. I'm not interested in this. If this is a spinoff, I think they have to pitch it as that.
But a spinoff posits longevity. So it's like, this is the new story we're going to tell, but it's not going to be beyond the 6 hours.
Right, but I'm saying if this is supposed to be in the same world as the original and it's just continuing the story or wrapping it up, I don't want it to be like, well, now we're all in New York. I want it to be like, it's still Stars
Hollow. It's such a tension because you want it to develop and you want it to be different. You want characters to grow, but you still want the familiarity and the things that made you like the show to begin with.
I feel like the familiarity is more important to me above what, like, having the characters grow. Because I feel like having characters grow is something that's important if we can watch the characters grow.
The mic was just bumping up.
Oh, sorry. I just think it's the kind of thing where if I'm supposed to accept a jump, I can't also accept that, oh, Rory's a different person now.
Yeah.
Because I would just have to go, like, I don't like the excuse of, like, oh, it happened while you weren't looking. Because that's that's frustrating. That's just a different series. So I think for them to put them in a new setting and have them be different characters would suck, kind of. But also, like, what story can they tell if they're all in Stars Hollow still and it's like, Rory's 30 years old, what is she doing now? I feel like that's such a big thing of it for me, is, like, if Rory is 30 years old and we're supposed to accept, there's so much important development that we just have to accept that we missed.
Right.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
But I would also not want to see it with the different actors. So I'm just like, what? Like, is there any way to satiate?
What? Do you think that there is
something
gonna
burning?
No, you're just having a stroke.
Oh, great. What a time to be alive.
I don't smell it. But do you think that much development has to occur? Because the series starts, that's going to be crazy. Oh, watch out. Now it's falling. That's going to be crazy that the series will now start and Rory will be the same age as Lorelai was when the series started.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? But think about, like, did Lorelai totally grow and change in like the 7 years between, 32 and 25 or whenever it was. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, will there be that much? Like, what if Rory's single? That would be acceptable. If she's single, she has no guy.
It'd be acceptable, but I also think, I feel like it would be so different from the show, which sucks to say that that's not the show, that Rory needs to be with a guy, but they kind of set it up in a way where it's like Rory is, her biggest always conflict is always how she is with another man. And it's just like,
it'll just depend on the story they want to tell,
right?
I guess.
There's literally no conjecture. Like, I don't think there's a good preset that we've seen for this kind of thing is to be like, what would they do? And I guess Amy Sherman has an idea of what she wants to do. But just the idea of having to do this with such a big time jump that they're acknowledging is scary. But also, like, I have to have confidence in Amy Sherman Palladino. I can't really.
And we
there's
do.
There's no conjecture to be had.
That's what this podcast is all about.
Conjecture.
Rachel asks, will Jason Mendoza play Rory's new love interest?
Yes.
Bonkers.
Well, that's the thing. Jason Mendoza is playing a character named Eric who is vying for affections against Tony.
Eric and Tony.
Yeah. Tony's not a great, I mean,
who
Eric's
the hell
not
am
a great
I?
Dance. Oh, you're like a mailman. So you deliver the mail one day and Tony's there and Tony goes, don't need it today, thanks, because we're in the middle of an argument.
Sure.
So you
sure,
go,
sure, sure.
Hey guys, here's your mail. And I go, don't need it today, thanks. And then we keep arguing.
Wow.
I shouldn't be telling you guys all the secrets that are happening
in
the script.
We're really giving away some spoilers.
Eric's whole thing is that he just wants to bone down.
Go to bone zone.
He's like Dean, but funny.
Without the boy and Dean dick.
Yeah.
Max says, do you think the events of season 7 will impact the last four words? Will she still be able to end the series with the same message, considering the time in canon? And I think the answer is maybe. We literally don't know.
The whole thing about the last four words to me is I think that people want us to predict what they're going to be. I don't think we can. I feel like there's something.
We can't anymore. We totally can't.
I feel like there's something that would have been set up in a way that it's like, oh, we couldn't have guessed that from the second episode unless it was like something that she eventually wanted to get to. Because she talks a lot about how she's planned it for a while. But it feels like if she's planned it for a while, either it's something that's such a direct reference to early in the show, or it's something that she's like, I want to get to this eventually, and that's the ending of the series. So if it's that, you know, who knows? But
Brooke asks, what are the chances of Melissa McCarthy being in Netflix's budget? And the answer to that, I think, is I don't think. If she agreed to participate, she wouldn't be like, well, my going rate is 15 mil
right.
per picture now. Like, I don't think she would.
I think the same thing of, like, everyone who's in a Wet American Summer. I'm like, really? Paul Rudd is an Ant-Man and he comes back for this? But he is.
But he is. So, and it's totally, it's not a money issue with McCarthy.
Or with Netflix.
Right. I think it's going to be.
Does she want to do
does
it?
Does she want to do it?
Does she want to make the time?
I literally can't tell her feelings
no
on the show. Because when it's referenced, she's never like, bleh. But she's never like, oh, I love Gilmore Girls.
I've never
I miss
heard
it.
Her talk about it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, too.
Which might not, that's not a sign either way. It's just, she's so, like, that's so in her past that, like, why would she bring it up all the time? I don't know. People don't go into Mike and Molly interviews going, we got to know about Gilmore Girls. Like, whatever.
So, I don't know. It just depends on where she is with it all.
To the point that also, I didn't know she was in this series until...
until you watched it.
Until I... Yeah. So, it's not like a thing where everyone was like, it's Melissa McCarthy's big break. It was... She was there.
She was
so,
there.
So, will she be in the revival? Hope so. Who knows?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. And Adam asks, is the chicken still nice?
That chicken's way dead. It was a plastic chicken also, right?
No, so it's probably still alive.
Oh, wait. No, wasn't it like a fluffy chicken on
it
the
was
bed?
A fluffy stuffed chicken.
Yeah.
Nice chicken.
Yeah, chicken's still nice.
Can you believe this is what the podcast has turned into? An emergency podcast where we have to say, you know what, yeah,
the
chicken
are the
is...
plums still better than sex?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have the other soundboards on here. Oh, well. Well, let's wrap it up. We've been talking about this enough. I may put this out without editing for the first time.
Go for
it. I think we haven't. There's no dead space.
This is a perfect time to get some opinions out real quick then.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, I think. I can't even joke because I can't edit it out.
I I mean, the funny thing is, if you truly do not edit this, there's going to be a long pause where you just get up and go across.
It wasn't that long because then you jumped in.
Oh, that's
true. So it was like 5 seconds.
Yet again, I've saved the day today.
So I guess to wrap it up, we can just say we're excited. We have cautious optimism. We're looking forward to continuing the conversation and getting to extend the life of this podcast a little bit more.
Yeah.
And do you have any parting thoughts, Dims?
I'm really excited to see Rory teaching her daughter Common Core mathematics. I'm really excited for Rory to campaign for Bernie Sanders. And I'm really excited for Donald Trump to stop in Stars Hollow. I think that's going to be a real...
Cook, you fired. Cook.
What?
Kirk, you fired.
Cook?
Kirk.
Oh, Kirk.
This is Trump. Oh, gosh. I'm not doing well today.
You know what? You got a year until he is like running, so you can work on it.
Running, like that Justin Timberlake movie no one saw.
Oh, Runner?
Yeah.
I saw it.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Ben Schwartz was in it. Was it good?
Yeah, he was. No, it was not.
Okay. Well, on that note, guys, thank you for listening to the show, to this special emergency episode, which we're officially calling There's Gonna Be Gilmore? Hashtag revival talk.
Let's just call it Emergency Town Meeting. We'll figure out a name off air.
Yeah, okay.
And you'll see it at the top of your iTunes.
Woo-hoo-hoo! So thanks for listening. Thanks for participating in this conversation with us. And I guess we can safely say we did it.
It was all us. We'll see you on cyberspace.
On the road. Celebratory, right?
Feeling lonely.
Netflix,
and so cold.
Netflix and Chilton.
All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there
for
on the next
Amtrak. Wow, it's an update.
I will follow
to Netflix
anywhere
to Netflix
on the Google map if you leave.
Oh, it's updated.
Just drop me a pin and I will
swipe
right
on Tinder.
Oh. Where you lead.
.gif. Use Waze.
I will follow anywhere.
Hashtag damn it,
Tyler. Send a pin if you need. You need me to get some food. Order Postmates to my door.
We're all entitled here.
To a revival.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
Entitled to some.
We're all entitled here.
Delivery. I don't know. What's another thing that is current? We're all entitled to some HBO Go.
Goodbye.